So this morning we're going to talk about birth and death. This is the third lecture, and the section I want to talk about is, it is a mistake to suppose that birth turns into death. Birth is a phase that is an entire period of itself with its own past and future. For this reason, in Buddha Dharma, birth is understood as no birth. Death is a phase that is an entire period of itself with its own past and future. For this reason, death is understood as no death. In birth, there is nothing but birth, and in death, there is nothing but death. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. The first part, the first sentence, it is a mistake to suppose that birth turns into death. Birth is a phase that is an entire period of itself with its own past and future. This idea, which is called Dharma position, Juhoi in Japanese, actualizing a Dharma position, this is a very important part of Dogen's understanding of how we live our life. There's a whole section about this in Genjo Koan where he talks about firewood and ash. He says, in that section, he says, it is a laid down way of Buddhists turning the Dharma wheel, not to say that death becomes life, or we could say that life becomes death. So Dogen says this is a laid down way of Buddhists turning the Dharma wheel. So this is a teaching that has been passed on through the generations of Buddhist practitioners. So this juhoi, or to dwell in the Dharma position, Shohaku Okamura talks about this, and I think he puts it in a really good way. He says, 100% this moment. I like that. 100% this moment. We live in this moment 100%. We actually live in this moment 100%, whether or not we are living in this moment 100%. Because there is nothing else that we can do except live in this moment 100%. So that's a very interesting thing to think about. So what is a Dharma position? A Dharma position would be a being time. It would be a moment of a situation, a moment of a person. Or maybe you could just say a person is being time. The cup is being time. Yet it also had this sense of this moment being time. Actually, a moment has no duration. We can't define a moment's duration, but we kind of know what we think a moment's duration is. So I would say, right now, this is a moment. So I know intuitively some sense of what that moment is. And yet the reality of the moment is there is no moment in that moment. As soon as we define it as a moment, the moment is gone. We can keep making that moment smaller and smaller. But we have a sense in our bodies of this moment, this time. So we 100% live this time. We 100% engage this moment. So this 100% has the moment that we think is the moment, and then there's the 100% of the moment that just is the moment. So there's the particularity of this moment as we perceive it as being this person, this thing that we define as somehow separate. And yet simultaneously that thing or that being or that moment includes everything. So we like to do one in our mind, or we like to do the other. We have a hard time doing both things at the same time. Maybe it's not necessary to do both things at the same time. Maybe it's not possible for our poor little brains to hold both of those things at the same time. But as soon as we find ourselves over here with just about particularity, then we also need to know that it's here too. Simultaneously, everything is included in this 100%. So if you find yourself saying to yourself, well, it just has to be this way, it just is this way, or I just am so upset, or I'm so angry, or I hate this person, or they're a horrible person, or whatever we're doing like that, that's very black and white and cut and dried. We have to remember that should trigger our mind to say, oh no, actually, everything's included. So if I say this person is a bad person, then everything's included in that moment. There's also this person as good person, this person as Buddha nature, this person in the totality of the whole universe manifesting at this moment in this particularity. So we have to hold both of those things. And by holding both of those things, we start to be able to discern a little better something about the nature of that moment, about that person, about ourselves. So they're happening simultaneously. So this being in the present moment, this being in this 100%, this is where realization is. Realization is not in our idea about realization. Realization is not even something we define as realization. Realization is completely 100% living this moment. So this 100% living the moment has to include the totality of the experience, not just our own experience. Again, koan, to carry the self forward is illusion, to push yourself onto the situation, these ideas and that we have in a way that's not appropriate is delusion. To allow things to meet us, to come forward and be part of, which they already are, this 100% in this moment, is to have a skillful response, is realization. But don't think of it as realization. It's just being completely present for what's happening in this moment. So this is where it's at, right? It's not our idea about it. It's the actual being of it, the responding, the presencing to the totality of what's happening. So we listen and we try to respond completely within the context of this moment. This doesn't mean that you drop all your discernment. It doesn't mean that if somebody has a history of being hurtful, that you just open yourself up to being hurt. But it does mean that you are open to the situation being different, that we aren't completely caught in our preconceived notions about what's going on. So you have to use your mind here. You have to discern. This doesn't mean anything goes, right? It's not what this means. So we meet a person where they are and where we are, not where we want them to be or wish them to be. So that's part of what this 100% moment is, this 100% presencing in this moment. So we have to understand that's where realization is. So this means in our life, your life as it is right now is a life of realization. Is this life, the Buddha nature is not somewhere else. So that's why Pema Chodron's book, start where you are. We don't have to go somewhere else. It's 100% right this moment. 100%. So it may not feel like that. Sometimes, of course, it's not going to feel that way. Sometimes it's going to feel like, oh, gosh, this is really horrible, whatever. But that's our idea about what's going on. And we do make mistakes. And we are caught in delusion, but that delusion is still part of the 100% this moment. It's not something different from that this moment. So, Shohaku Okumura tells this story about his teacher, Uchen Roshi. I think I might have told this last week. There was a man called Doyo Ozawa who was a prisoner of war during World War II. And he was being shipped to Siberia on some kind of freight train. And he had really bad frostbite on his legs. And so they had to amputate his lower extremity, you know, from the knee down. So he was needless to say, very unhappy about this. And he was struggling and struggling. Did I talk about this last week? Okay. He was struggling and struggling with this. As you can imagine, how hard it would be to have this happen. But as he got involved in Buddhism and involved his teacher, was Ujjama Roshi, he started to think about this in a different way. He started to think of it as just this moment, 100%. So this moment is completely this moment, and in this completely this moment, I have no legs. It's not like there was a moment when I had legs before, or it's not like there's a moment when I'm going to have legs. But his willingness to really work with and completely be present for his life as it was freed him from the suffering that came from thinking about this as a kind of regret or loss, as something that this moment should be something different than it is. So for him, each moment, he said, this is my birth. I am born without legs. In each moment, I am born without legs. This was not an easy practice for him. Can you imagine? But the fact, if he stayed in this moment of constant regret, if he stayed in this moment of constantly conjuring up some past that didn't exist, and though his past was there, I mean, he did have that past. He did have legs in the past. But 100% this moment, there's no legs. 100% this moment. This moment, being born right now, no legs. Being born with no legs. You hear stories about people who are born without legs or whatever, and they, because they're little kids, they don't think about it. You know, little babies, they just adapt to the situation. Oh, I don't have legs, so I'm going to figure out how to scoot around without legs. We see this kind of thing on the news, right? Maybe you know somebody who's had this. So as very little babies, since they don't make comparisons, they're just problem solving. How do I get around? You know, how do I do this? And so they get very adaptive to doing it. Their bodies adapt. They don't think about it. They don't say, a little infant doesn't say, hey, I was born without legs. I'm so sad about this. My whole life is horrible. Now, sometimes as people get older and they start making comparisons in that situation, their life does get horrible. It does become really difficult. But there are other people for whom it's like, they're just like, whatever. There's a guy who was a baseball player who was missing a hand, and he was a pitcher in Major League Baseball for a while. And he would tuck his glove underneath his left arm and throw with his right arm and then, you know, get his glove and catch with his right arm. So he had this whole thing worked out. He could do it really well. He was in Major League Baseball. So this is a person who just 100%, just this moment, what do I need to do? You know, not even thinking about it as a kid. He probably got really good at it as a kid. I want to play baseball. How do I play baseball without a hand? Well, I can do this. So, Doyo Ozawa, Reverend Ozawa, because he became ordained, Reverend Ozawa was really admired by people. They just thought he was just a joyful guy. But it didn't come some kind of innate way. You know, it didn't come without work on his part. So that's our practice. You know, he took this teaching of 100% this moment, and he said, how does this apply to my life? I have this deep suffering that I'm going through. This horrible things happen to me, and I'm really struggling with this. So he said, how do I take this practice and apply it to my life? And he did that, and he worked really hard. I'm sure he had help from Ujjama Roshi to kind of figure this out, but he worked really hard, and the upshot was that he was a very happy person. Hey, why not? Pretty good. But it took a lot of work to get there. So he decided in this moment, 100% no legs. Not no past, no future, just 100% no legs. So each moment was a new birth. Each moment is a new interpretation or understanding of his current situation. So this moment of no legs also includes everything else as well. So I talked about earlier. But you might say there was a state of no existing legs. There was a state of existing legs. There was a state of going beyond no legs. Going beyond having legs. Just the state of pure response. We say mu. Mu means no, but it actually means leaping beyond, going beyond this dichotomy of this and that, this complete response of the 100%, just this moment. It's not about comparisons. We like to make comparisons a lot. It's really hard not to make comparisons. So when you find yourself making comparisons about something, oh, they did this better than I did it, or I have this idea of how it should be, or all those kinds of ways that we talk to ourselves about the nature of our experience. See what it's like just to let it be, not to make the comparison. Well, you might make the comparison, but just say to yourself, maybe this isn't true. Maybe I don't need to make a comparison. Maybe it's not helpful to make a comparison. I'm just going to be 100% this moment. Some ways, being 100% this moment is kind of scary because we can no longer use the past, things that happened in the past, or things that we want or imagine to happen in the future, whether we want them or not. Some ways, they define the nature of who we are to ourselves. So just letting go of that and being 100% in the present moment can be kind of scary. Ooh, who I am? Who am I? Sometimes in Zen, people say, well, just say yes. Just say yes. And that's a kind of way of talking about 100% this moment. When I was Tenzo, at Tassajara, we would make something called sesame soybeans for as a morning, it's a part of the morning meal. It's really great stuff. But soybeans are really hard beans, and they are very hard to cook. Like, you have to cook them, I'm not joking, like 3 days or something, if you're going to cook them on the stove. They're that serious. So if you want to cook these things, you need to use a pressure cooker. And I was frightened of pressure cookers. Never used them very much in my life, and so I just was concerned that they were going to blow up. So when I was Tenzo, it was really hard to get the soybeans cooked because I didn't want to use a pressure cooker. And I remember Mel Weitzman, my teacher, who was also in charge of the practice period that when I was one of the part of the year when I was Tenzo, he said, well, you know, you have to cook the soybeans so they're completely cooked. And I'm like, oh, but this, but that, but whatever. And he said, just say yes. So I said, yes. And I went away and I said to my crew, well, we have to figure out how to cook the soybeans. Get out the pressure cooker. Because there's this way of, in some ways, in this situation, the rest of it doesn't matter. My fantasies about pressure cookers blowing up, I have to let go of that. And my past, whatever that was about cooking it on the stove, I have to let go of that. I just have to say, yes, 100%, we're cooking the soybeans. So I told the crew, I said, well, if the abbot can't gum them, they're not cooked. So we made a little joke out of it, but we cooked them in the pressure cooker. So I could have maybe said, okay, we're never having sesame soybeans again on my watch, you know. But it was a good lesson for me just to say yes, just to say yes. 100% this moment, yes. So that's an interesting thing to think about. No comparison, no past, no future, just yes, this moment. Yes, no legs. Yes, this moment. So again, this moment, when we can include everything in this moment, so this is talking about the other aspect of Dharma position, which is that it includes everything. Including everything in this moment gives us a kind of flexibility. So in that moment of just saying yes, I have to include the possibility of cooking soybeans with a pressure cooker. That's part of the yes. So everything else that's in there is still in there. It's all still there. But there's this and, there's this moment of yes, not but. It's all still there and there's this moment of yes. So Odasawa without his legs, there's still this there's this moment of yes, which includes not having legs, and it includes maybe sometime science can come up with a way for him to have legs. But not clinging to that, not getting caught in that. It's just there. It's just simultaneously there. And that's okay too. Dogen talks a lot about, uses the, trying to think if this is a simile or a metaphor. I think it's a metaphor. The metaphor of the moon reflected in the water. Last night we were watching the movie about Dogen Senji's life, and there were several scenes where we saw the moon reflected in the water. So this moon is a metaphor. The moon, the full round moon, is a metaphor for Buddha nature. It is realization. Water would be a metaphor for things just in this moment, for this kind of relative side, this side of this concrete thing, right? So there's the moon, and then there's the particularity, the Dharma position of the water. So this moon is reflecting constantly in our life. It's not gone from our life. The moon is always reflecting in the water. So Dogen says, the moon in a dewdrop, right? This tiny little dewdrop, the whole moon is in the dewdrop, reflected in the dewdrop. If we look at the ocean, the whole moon is reflected in the ocean. So this moon is always present in the tiniest thing and in the most vast thing. It's always there. Now when the moon, when we disturb the water, there's a scene in the movie where the shogun goes and he takes his sword and he cuts through the water and water ripples and the moon disappears. But the moon doesn't disappear. The water is just very rippled. It's disturbed. So we can think of that as our mind or our life, right? We can think of it as this way in which we lose our stability. The moon is still present. The moon is still reflected in the water. But when we get all kind of caught up and turbulent, we don't see the moon. But the moon is still there. The moon is still reflected. Buddha nature is always present. Buddha nature is reality itself. Buddha nature is 100% reality. So it's always there. It's not even reflected. It is the essence of reality itself. And we are not separate from that. So that is that way in which 100% all the time the moon is reflected in the water. Even when we disturb the water, even when our minds are completely chaotic, the moon is still 100%. And how do we calm our mind? We do it by coming back to this moment. We do it by seeing that in each moment, the moon is still reflected in the water. That's what Odizawa did when he said, this moment is birth with no legs. This moment is completely birth with no legs. So this moment of no legs includes the moon, and the time of the legs includes the moon. Delusion includes the moon, realization includes the moon. Life includes the moon, and death includes the moon. It is only our mind that doesn't include the moon. And yet, at the same time, we cannot be separated from the moon. Not our ideas about the moment, not our desires about the moment. Nothing about the moment is still just 100% this moment. So how do we connect with 100% this moment? We do it by completely expressing 100% this moment. This is our effort. This is what Zazen is. Zazen is a way to sit down and be met by the moment. Oftentimes, though, we're thinking about things or caught in things. It's hard to let the moment meet us when we're doing that. So that's why we say, keep coming back, keep coming back, keep coming back. Don't beat yourself up, but just keep coming back, keep coming back. Because you want to have this experience of that. Right, so Dogen says, for this reason in Buddha Dharma, birth is understood as no birth. So, since Buddha Dharma includes everything, the totality of everything is like one big process. One big process. So if we say birth, or we say death, when someone is dying, they're 100% living. They may have some notion. We say, oh, I'm dying. I've like forgotten this terminal, this report and then be dying from this thing, cancer or whatever. Yet simultaneously, we are 100% alive. We're completely alive. Somebody else may think we're dead. Right? You hear somebody's dying of cancer and you're all of a sudden they're dead. They're 100% dead. But they're not. They're 100% alive. We are always 100% alive in this moment. We're always 100% being reborn. And at the same time, there's always 100% dead in part of that too, because each moment there's death as well as birth. We don't tend to think about that part, but if there wasn't death in each moment, there would be no change. Things would be permanent, like life would be very strange. We couldn't have life without death. It just can't happen. You couldn't have thoughts without birth and death. Thoughts are, it would be like, I don't know what, I can't even think of how to describe this state. So birth and death are just reality as it is. That's all. So we can say, for this reason, in Buddha Dharma, birth is understood as no birth. No inherently existing birth. We can also say, for this reason, in Buddha Dharma, death is understood as no death. No inherently existing death. And we could also say, in this Buddha Dharma, birth is understood as death. In this Buddha Dharma, death is understood as birth. It's like all those things that we want to say this or that about are included 100% simultaneously. It's all there. So that's just things as they are. No labels about what it is. Just completely 100% things as they are. So it says, death is a phase that is an entire period of itself with its own past and future. For this reason, death is understood as no death. Death is a phase that is an entire period. So this is the Dharma position of death, or we could say the Dharma position of birth, or the Dharma position of anything. And that particular Dharma position does have its own past and future. We're not getting caught by that past and future. So he's not defying, he's not denying that there is sequential reality and that there is a specificity of cause and effect. Yet simultaneously, so you could say there is the example that Reverend Bokuson uses. He did a commentary on Genja Gohan. He says, if you make tofu, you know, you have the soybeans and you make tofu. For there is this process where you can say, well, I took the soybeans, I did this, I soaked them or whatever, and then, you know, eventually through that process you make tofu. But for the tofu, there are no soybeans. If you ask the tofu, you're a soybean, the tofu would say, well, that's absurd. I'm not a soybean, I'm tofu. And if you said to the soybean, you know, you're tofu, that soybean would say, no, I'm not. I'm a soybean. I'm completely 100% a soybean. And yet, if it's tofu, it has a past, and that past is soybean. And it has a future, which might be our stomach, right? Or the few, I don't know, being incorporated into our cellular structure or something like that. But in that moment of being soybean, or the moment of being tofu, or the moment of being our cellular structure, they're 100% just that. Yet simultaneously there is this sequential passage. But I think what Dogen's trying to say to us here is, don't get caught in letting that sequential passage define the nature of your life. It's really about just this moment. Just this moment of being 100% soybean. You know, just this moment of 100% tofu. What's it like to be 100% tofu in this moment? Not caught by past or future. And also, at the same time, it's all included because if you think about what does it take to make a soybean? You know, the whole universe has to agree to make a soybean. The whole universe. So the cause is the effect, and the effect is the cause, and it goes on in infinity in this very, like a hologram, you know, just goes on endlessly. We cannot say this or that. And yet we can say, you can't make tofu without soybeans. So again, it's like we're being asked to hold both of these things at the same time. Which one is most important right now? You know, which one of these teachings is most helpful right now? 100% this moment? 100% this moment? Remembering that we're all the same. You know? We are completely in this totality of life. So when we think about the Great Barrier Reef being killed, dying, we might say, wow, I am like 100% this totality. I am this reef. This is part of me. And yet, at the same time, I'm not the reef. I am 100% me. You are 100% you. And they're not separate from each other. But where we find our realization is in that moment of the moon reflected in the water of us. The moon reflected in the water as I am tofu. I am soybean. This is this moment. This is what's happening right now. I am driving my car. I am at the supermarket. I am talking to my friend. So I think that's what Dogen's trying to point to us here about this. Not getting caught in ideas about birth and death. He's using birth and death, I think, because birth and death are such big ideas for us. Death in particular, big idea. But the reality is we're 100% alive until we're 100% dead. And I don't know what the 100% dead is, but I do know that my life right now is this life. And that I'm being asked to completely live this life the best way I can. 100%. So, and being guided by practice, because I'm into that, you know. So 100% being guided by practice, informing the nature of my life. This seems like a very helpful teaching to me. It seems very abstract, but actually it's, you know, what are you doing right now? What are you doing right now? Are we caught in some ideas that we have? Are we just really figured out a way to, you know, really able to be right here with each other? Right now we are one thing. All of us sitting here are this one event in this room called Dharma Lecture. And yet simultaneously we are 100% just ourselves, thinking whatever thoughts we're having. I can't tell what you're thinking, but I know that the chances are good that I've probably thought it too. And you probably thought what I've thought. That we have this shared reality that's the same, and yet simultaneously it's different. So how we hold that. Not just holding it in this way, but also holding it about our own lives, not getting caught. For this reason, death is understood as no death. In birth, there is nothing but birth, and in death, there is nothing but death. So death is no inherently existing death. Birth is no inherently existing birth. But really what this is, as Dogen says in Uji, it's the sound of a fish leaping clear of the water. And then, so this, just this moment of leaping clear of our delusion, leaping clear of our ideas about enlightenment, and just being here. And you know, we do that a lot anyway, without even thinking about it. We do this a lot. So let's keep making this effort moment after moment, 100%. Thank you very much.